We have to start right now, though, with Scott Muchenbaker, who is the executive chef at the Beefsteak Club in downtown. And thank you for putting that little chalkboard advertising the fact you were going to be on with us today here right downtown. You have a very clever chalkboardist over there.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't have you turned on. Say what?
I said yes. She does. She does a wonderful job over there, Miss Andrea.
Good sense of humor. Watch for the chalkboard. Well,
yes,
it's good to have you here, and I thought maybe an appropriate subject for today, actually, it was Sandy's idea. It was a graduation food, and you kind of addendumed that by saying finger foods.
Yeah, let's do some finger foods, you know, something simple. When you're at a graduation party, you know, you don't want to carry around a big plate. You just want to be able to grab something, pop it in your mouth, and call it a day, right?
Right.
All right. So what we're going to start out with is some phyllo dough cups, and we got a little cream cheese and a berry coulis recipe that we're going to stuff that with. So you can pick up phyllo dough at any local grocery store. It's usually in the frozen food section by all the bread dough and stuff like that. If you really want to make it yourself, go ahead. I don't have a recipe for that on hand, but it's...
Well, you're not really a baker. You're a Muchenbaker. And when I asked you if you were a baker, you said, no, that's science.
Yeah, that's science. I don't have time for that. That's a very calculated, methodical thing. And every now and then, I'll like to do it, but not very often. So what we'll do is we'll roll out our phyllo dough, and we're going to cut that into squares, about 5-inch squares. And then we're going to layer about 5 pieces of that on top of each other. This stuff is really, really delicate. It's like it's thinner than, you know, notebook paper. It falls apart, so you want to work really, really quickly with it while it's still really cold and in that state. So after we layer those 5 pieces together, we're going to put that into grease cupcake molds, and we're going to bake that off for about 10 to 15 minutes at 350 degrees.
So you take the phyllo dough, you put 4 or 5 of them together and shove them into a cupcake.
Yep, and just kind of, you know, like offset them so, you know, they have a bunch of different points on them.
I see.
They're not just, you know, one on top of each other. They actually have a little bit of frill to them, if you will.
That's for presentation purposes.
Presentation, that's what it's all about. You with your eyes first, right? All right, now for the filling, we're going to do 8 ounces of cream cheese. We're going to do 3 sprigs of fresh thyme, and you're just going to chop up that thyme. We're going to do 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, and we're going to mix that thoroughly. Get all those ingredients. You're going to want to let that set for about a couple hours just so all those ingredients have a chance to, you know, just kind of get to meet each other, have some fun, and just really, you know, blend.
All right. And what did you call that phyllo dough?
Phyllo dough, just cups, whatever. And then on top of that, we got we're going to do a berry coulis. And that's just, coulis is just a fancy way of saying sauce.
Okay.
So in my business, we like to use those fancy words.
Is that C-O-U-L-E?
It's C-O-U-L-I-S.
Okay.
Coulis. So in a saucepan, we're going to do 2 cups of berries. Use whatever you like. You can do a mixture, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, any berry you can think of.
Blueberries. Will blueberries work?
Blueberries will work. Lingonberries, that's a Swedish delicacy, you know.
Juniper berries.
That's good for making gin.
Okay.
All right, so with that, we're going to do a 1/4 cup of Cointreau or triple sec, and then we're going to do a 1/4 cup of a sweet wine like a Moscato, a Riesling, a Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer is really, really sweet. That's closer to getting into like your dessert wines, but any sweet wine will work really, really well. And then we'll throw in a 1/4 cup of water, and we're going to do a 1/2 cup of sugar, and we're going to simmer these berries until they're cooked or nice and soft. And we'll throw that into a blender, or you can use like an immersion blender and just blend these up really good. And if you want to get really, really technical with it, you can break out the cheesecloth. You can get cheesecloth at any grocery store, and you'll run that mixture through your cheesecloth, and that's going to siphon out all those little seeds and those imperfections and stuff that you don't want in there.
Right.
And so you just fill up your little cups with the cream cheese mixture, drizzle a little bit of that coulis over the top. Really simple. It's kind of a sweet and savory thing, you know, because you got thyme, you get the berries and sugar and the sweet wine.
That's about the size of a cupcake, obviously. And
yeah, a little bit smaller. I mean, it's, yeah, kind of indented cupcake, if you will.
And so if you're having 50 people come by, you'd probably want to make at least 50 of those.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right.
All right.
Good. Thank you. What's next on our finger food tour of graduation parties?
All right. We're going to do a grilled polenta with confit tomatoes and confit chicken.
And confit is C-O-M-F-I-T.
C-O-N-F-I-T, yes. Okay. Confit. And, okay, so for the polenta, you're going to do 2 cups of chicken stock. You're going to do 1.5 cups of cornmeal, a half cup of mascarpone cheese, and then I like to use about 3 green onions, just dice that up into small pieces. And then we're going to do 1 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes and 1 teaspoon salt. So now this, when you're making polenta, it's going to be a lot, a lot just like you're making pasta. You got to bring that that liquid to a boil before you you know, you add in your pasta, or in this case, your cornmeal. So after we get that going, we're gonna throw all that that cornmeal into that boiling chicken stock, and we're gonna cook that while whisking for about 5 to 7 minutes. You want to make sure you cook your cornmeal thoroughly. And now you want to turn down your heat, too, because this stuff will start popping and start spouting stuff out. And so you just want to be careful because you can get burnt. But, you know, just keep an eye on it. Make sure you're constantly stirring it, because otherwise it'll stick to the bottom of your pot and then you start burning.
And how long would that take?
I cooked that for about 5 to 7 minutes. Okay. And then you're going to add in your mascarpone, your green onions, and your salt and pepper, and just whisk that in really, really carefully. And then we're going to place that mixture onto a sheet pan. Just use like a spatula to try and make a kind of an even surface, you know, nice even thickness all around. And we're going to let that cool. So now on to the confit chicken. I like to use thighs for this because it's going to be the most tender and the most moist of the chickens. So in a roasting pan, we're going to place our chicken thighs in. We're going to season that with just a little bit of salt and pepper. And just I like to use a little bit of cumin just to bring a little extra to the table, if you will. And then we're going to do about a 50-50 mixture of olive oil and butter. So we're going to do about 1 pound of each. So we want to fully submerge these chicken thighs. We're going to be slow cooking them, confit. Confit is usually it's cooking in its own fat, but unless you got a big tub of chicken fat laying around, you're going to want to go this route. So we're going to melt down that butter with the olive oil, and we're going to pour that over the top of the chicken thighs, and we're going to cover that with a little bit of tin foil, and we're going to bake for about 3 to 4 hours at 250 degrees. And once that comes out, that chicken just falls off the bone. It's so moist, and, you know, you get that fat in there, and it's nice and tasty.
Mm. Let me go back to the mascarpone cheese.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I don't know if I've even heard of it. What is that?
Mascarpone is, it's very, very similar to like cream cheese. It's a little bit softer than cream cheese. It's great for making spreads and stuff like that. It is kind of, I guess you could say, it's like the Italian version of a cream cheese.
All right. Good. I hadn't heard of it. Thank you. And it's available readily at places that carry a wide selection of cheeses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mascarpone. All right.
Yeah. All right, now for the tomatoes, we're going to do, you know, you get those little tubs of cherry tomatoes from any grocery store, and we're going to toss that with about 1/4 cup of olive oil, 2 sprigs of fresh thyme chopped, 3 sage leaves chopped, 2 tablespoons of garlic chopped, and we're going to do about 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of pepper, and we're going to bake that at 200 degrees for about 1 hour. We're just going to do that on like a, you know, cookie sheet. Just really, really slow until, you know, those natural juices start popping out of the skins of the tomato.
My, that sounds good.
Yeah. So now for the build, with like a biscuit cutter or a snowman cookie cutter or whatever you got, we're just going to cut out little polenta squares, snowmen, snowflakes, whatever you got. And we're gonna use some nonstick spray. Spray that down really, really heavily. And we're going to actually grill this. The polenta is just so great for grilling. It brings so much more flavor to it. You get a little smoky in there, and it's nice. It's very nice. And then we're just going to top that with a little bit of that confit chicken and some of those tomatoes.
And it's all come together.
It's all come together.
That's fancy finger food for graduation.
Yeah, you know, the build is, you know, it's like going to school, Jack. It's, you know, you go K through 12, and you're building, and you're getting everything ready, and then you go to college, and then you graduate, and then you're making polenta, and it's just great.
Now, speaking of going to school, we had Marky Bailey in earlier today, and she's been a spokesperson for this movement to establish an Institute of Culinary Arts at NDSU in downtown to team up with NDSCS in Wahpeton. What do you think of that?
When I first heard about this, you know, I've been talking with a couple other local chefs, and we're really, really excited. You know, we got the school over in Moorhead, we got the school down in Wahpeton, but I think, you know, the way Fargo is moving, the downtown is just, it's just exploding. I mean, there's new restaurants opening up everywhere. And I think right now, every restaurant in town is struggling for employees. So if we can get an institute downtown that's training these people in, you know, on the culinary side, on the serving side and everything else like that, and hopefully we can help retain some of these people in town, keep people in North Dakota.
A question I failed to ask Margie, which I meant, and I'll just try throwing at you. If you go to this school, should it happen, would it be training for chefdom or?
Yeah, that's kind of with the culinary institutes. I mean, there's so many different routes as far as culinary school that you can go. I mean, you can get into the catering side, you know, the personal chef side. You know, I went to school, I went with the intent of becoming an executive chef. That's, you know, that's not something you walk out of school, and that's not a position you walk right into. It's
right.
A lot of training before you get there.
And you went to Cordon Bleu, right?
That's correct.
And they do training for chefery, and
yep.
This school would as well.
Yeah.
As you see it, huh?
Yeah.
It's more than learning to be a cook.
Do you mind taking a call from Don? He has a question about seasoning salmon.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead, Don. You're on with Scott.
Yeah, I'd like to grill some salmon on the grill, and I'm not. A friend of mine made something that was absolutely delicious, and we're not friends anymore. She told me to roll it dog crap.
All right.
So I'm wondering how I could get close to the other recipe she had.
Well, you know, salmon is such an awesome fish because it does have a really nice fat content. It's, you know, it's those good fats, those fatty acids, the omega-3s, the omega-6s and stuff. And what I like to do with salmon, I like to just keep it really, really simple. And what I like to do is just do a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of cayenne. And then I like to actually zest a couple lemons into that mixture before I season it. And then, you know, just make sure that you spray down your grill really, really well because they will stick. And the one thing about fish, salmon, tuna, everything, it'll kind of tell you when it wants to be flipped. If you go to flip it and it's still kind of sticking to the grill, let it sit just a little bit longer because it's going to develop a crust while it's on those grates. And once that crust finally forms, then it's going to come right off that grill, and then you can flip it, you know, quarter turn it and then flip it over. Salmon is just a great fish for grilling all around.
Thanks for the call. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that about turning fish on the grill.
Nope.
If it doesn't want to give, just wait another while.
Just be patient.
You're never too old to learn, you kids. I just want you to know. Scott Mutchabaker, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
Great to see you again.
You too, Sandy.
Someone suggested that we should do another Iron Chef secret ingredient.
I like it.
It was a... We did that before, and we'll do that one day. And maybe we can open the phone lines to ask the chef or something like that sometime.
I like that, too.
You're the man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Sandy.